today I'd like to talk about discipleship and 21st century discipleship. And you know, we've been looking this term around the person of Jesus. It's kind of good to do. He's you know, pretty much what our faith is all about. And Jesus, you know, he makes disciples. And you know, I appreciate that in this room there's kind of a big spectrum of people. There's people who've been around the block a few times, and there's people who, you know, these are kind of some of the first times they're in church. And so different people have different understandings of discipleship, but basically Jesus, he makes disciples. And so I want to look at what does it mean to be disciples of Jesus. So I just got a few thoughts that I thought I'd share, if that's all right. So, does anybody know how many times in the Bible the word Christian is used? 3 times is the answer. Does anybody know how many times the word disciple is used? Okay, let's have some guesses. Shout out, please. Okay, hands up if you think it's around figure of 500. Hands up if you think it's around the figure of 150. Hands up if you think it's around the figure of 300. Hands up if you think it's around the figure of 269. What a Russ! In the New Testament, the word disciple is used 269 times, which I think there's something in that in itself, which is a challenge. Who knows what the word disciple means? Any takers? Follower, interesting thinking. The word disciple actually means apprentice. It means student, it means learner, but actually what it really means is apprentice. And so actually, you know, when we consider ourselves to be Christians, actually what we should be considering ourselves is to be apprentices of Jesus. And the nature of an apprentice is not really an academic thing at all. It's much more kind of a learning and a doing thing. And our faith is like that. It's a faith of action, which I love. It's action, you know, we learn so much. I just think so much is caught rather than taught, you know. And you can talk about, like, the poor, but unless you go to a slum, actually you go there, you know, the weight comes across. You know, you talk about praying for the sick or prophesying, until you've actually prayed for the sick and seen someone healed or prophesied, you know, and seen someone burst into tears because they don't know how, you know, how on earth you knew that. You know, just the difference between those two is just is phenomenal, and it's actually a faith of action that we have, which I love that. This is one of my favorite TV shows. So the boss is Alan Sugar. But in The Apprentice, there's thousands of applicants, and it boils down to one who's the best of the best of the best of the best, and that is The Apprentice, which Alan Sugar chooses. And that was very similar to how it was in Jesus' time, that you know, rabbis would choose the best of the best of the best. They had these kind of, you know, Hebrew schools where they taught the Torah and various Jewish texts, and they would choose, they would boil down for the very best of the best of the best, and they would then become rabbis' disciples. And Jesus kind of, he flips it, and he goes and he chooses the ones who weren't the best of the best. He goes and chooses the ones that flunked out of Torah school. He goes and chooses controversial tax men or fishermen, and he says, hey, come follow me, come be my disciple, which is absolutely fantastic, because it means that numpties like me and you guys, some of you, get to be, you know, disciples. It's not about being a pro, it's not about being super clever. For me, I personally take huge encouragement in it, because I was never top of the class, I was never best or really, really good at anything. But actually Jesus, he says, hey, it's not about being great. It's about having a soft and humble heart. It's about being willing. That's all he's ever looking for. That's what he was looking for with his disciples. Just a soft heart, just a humble heart, just someone who's willing to learn. It's good, isn't it? I love that about my God. So, I kind of think to actually be one of the original disciples, it's kind of easy. I mean, obviously it wasn't that easy, because they all ended up, well, most of them getting martyred. But actually, like, what does discipleship look like? I kind of think it's easy. You know, they just follow Jesus around. You know, he's there in the flesh. He's just a person. He's like, hey, guys, right, today we're going to go and, you know, preach today we're going to pray for someone, and then like, I'm going to say some confusing stuff, but then we're going to hang out later, we're going to have some tea, and I'm going to explain it to you. And you just get to be with Jesus, you just get to follow him around, you know, he'll go and do some stuff, he'll model it, and then he'll go, go on, you have a go. That's fantastic. The early church then have a problem, which is that Jesus has now like died and gone to heaven, and they're like, okay, so what does it mean for us to be disciples of Jesus? Jesus has given the Great Commission. The last words he say pretty much are, go and make disciples, and to carry on making apprentices, people who do the things that I do, who live the way that I taught, who, you know, who model the way of life, you know, which I came to model. But he's not there, so they, you know, they have to do it by the Holy Spirit. And we still live under that. That same challenge is for us. We're now in Marlow, in this building. What does it look like for us to be disciples of Jesus in the 21st century? It's, you know, that is the challenge. We're still, the Great Commission hasn't been fulfilled yet, but we're still under it. It's still our commission. So therefore, what does it look like? And I think that is something which, you know, is the task of the church. It's our task to wrestle with together. And I think primarily, it happens in community. Primarily, it happens in relationship. Discipleship, I think, doesn't happen from the pulpit. So that's point one. Discipleship doesn't happen from the pulpit. Discipleship happens in relationship. It happens by being friends together, by doing life together, by knocking the hard edges off one another. I kind of think there's three areas of being a disciple of Christ. I think the first area is understanding, so it's actually like learning. I think the church generally is quite good at that. You know, we emphasize River Church, we do a lot of teaching. The church generally in the UK, I think, does a lot of teaching. So I think we're generally quite good at the understanding area of things. I want to encourage everybody to read your Bible, basically. Sometimes it's boring, you know. That's the deal, you know. That's a lot of people struggle with their Bible, and I can understand why. But actually, if we're really to be disciples of Jesus, we actually just need to get in our Bibles and just read it, just every day, just even a little bit. Just read the Bible, and you'll find the Lord starts speaking to you, starts being revealed to you. For me, that's the first aspect of discipleship. It's just learning the ways of Christ, and you can learn it yourself. You learn it in community. The second is doing stuff, kingdom stuff. It's kind of the action side of discipleship. So not just learners, it's not an academic thing, it's a doing thing. And I think generally we're quite good at that as well. I think, you know, the church is a huge provider of social care in the UK and social provision. I think in River Church we're pretty good at doing stuff, quite good at doing ministry, quite good at, you know, serving our communities. We go and do the Wycombe, we do the youth club, we do River Life. We're quite good at doing. And we're increasingly get better at the ministry side of things. And I'd like to just pause and just read a testimony, which I heard recently, which is the doing side of things. So there's this lady in the Journey congregation of River Church called Lena, and she was part of the Journey, and then she did Ignite, or then it was called the Big Year, and now she's gone back over to Bulgaria, where she's originally from. And this is what she's recently posted on Facebook. I've been going on long walks almost every day, losing baby fat, in brackets, just had a baby, during which I listen to either Bethel or River Church podcasts. Quite like that. It's just we're there with alongside Bethel. Today, I was listening to Tom Torah's talk on Jesus and political power, which he did here. Just as Tom was speaking about taking steps of faith and praying for the sick, I was saying, yeah, and amen. I saw a woman with a downcast face on crutches coming out of her house. And I said to myself, what is the point of me listening to all these talks if I don't actually pray for anyone? So I went up to her before I could change my mind. I asked, what happened to your leg? And she totally opened up and started sharing that she'd been in a car accident with her husband and that since the accident she'd not been able to straighten out her leg. I asked, can I pray for it? I believe in God and I have seen him heal people. And before I could finish my sentence, she said, yes. I thanked God for saving her life and that of her husband. And she said that actually her husband had died. Awkward moment. So I thanked her for life and prayed and called for God's kingdom to come upon her leg. After the prayer, she began to straighten her leg little by little. I prayed twice for the leg, and she said that it felt much looser. I asked if she wanted to know the God to whom we prayed, and she said that she'd prayed to him while in hospital. She had tears in her eyes, so I led her in a prayer to accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and she confessed him as her Lord and asked him to come and be her best friend and to open up the scriptures to her. When we finished praying, rain started pouring down, so I couldn't pray for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I told her where to start, how to read the New Testament, and she just kept saying, thank you, just wow, how incredible. This is one of the least evangelized parts of Bulgaria, but that didn't stop God from reaching out to this woman, even if he had to use someone who lives 200 kilometers away. She was visiting her mum at the time. And he met her in the darkest period of her life, only because she called out to him in hospital and he heard, hallelujah. Please pray that she really begins to experience God's love, and that the Bible will begin to speak to her personally. Cool story, eh? That's awesome. I love how, like, you know, people in Nepal listen to, like, these preachers. So if you're in Nepal right now and you're listening to this talk, we just want to pray just revival, you know, God's love. Bless you, our brothers and sisters. Keep up the good work. If you're in Malawi, we bless you. It's cool, isn't it? Really cool. So that's like the action side of stuff. It's social justice. It's the works of Jesus, you know, supernatural stuff. It's all good. But there's a third side of discipleship, which I don't think we're that hot on, really, and I think we need to improve on, which is the character side of discipleship. You know, for me, like, what is character? It's for me, it all comes down to looking at the heart. And that's one of the things I like about worship. And I think, you know, what goes on in our hearts affects what goes on in our minds. What goes in our minds affects what we speak. What we speak affects our actions and our behaviours and our choices. And that then affects the people who we become in life. So it's really important what goes on in our hearts. Because the more choices we make in life affects the kind of people that we become. I like that thing that C.S. Lewis says. He says, you know, if you make a few choices to be bitter in certain circumstances, the more choices you make to become bitter, then you end up becoming a bitter person, and that choice part of you has now become solidified, and it's no longer a choice. It's just who you are. I think that's an interesting concept. I like that. So what goes on in our hearts is really important. I think, you know, we often talk in church about the presence of God and all this kind of great stuff, and it's fantastic. But actually, when you read the words of Jesus, loads of it is on character. Loads of it is on just the choices they make, the way we behave with people, the way we give, you know, away our lives. It's just so much of it is around behavior and character and that kind of side of things. So I think there's a challenge for us there as a church, really, just to kind of go on a journey of going, like, what does this look like? So here's my thoughts. I think there are many models. I think there's one-to-one, just peers together. I think there's kind of peer group mentoring. I think there's small groups. I think there's prayer triplets. And my experience basically is that there's no one-size-fits-all, really, when it comes to discipleship. When I was a teenager, I had this relationship with the Lord. I'd experienced God a few times. I'd maybe put my hands up in worship, you know, maybe like once, like when no one's looking, I'd be like, oh, yes, God, and I'd have, you know, felt the presence of God. But I was a real kind of, you know, tentative in my walk with the Lord. And we were part of a youth group, which was led by Tim Robson at the time, called Tribe. And they kind of released this kind of discipleship scheme, a mentoring scheme called Bonsai. And the idea is that, you know, there was these bonsai trees, and the bonsai tree masters would look at trees, and they'd spend ages looking at, you know, what it could be on the inside. And then, you know, in a moment of kind of inspiration, they'd cut down this bonsai tree to this perfect little mini tree. And that's what God wanted to do with us. He'd see us with all kind of the extra bits, but then he'd see what the potential was on the inside. And that was the nature of discipleship, is kind of drawing that out from the inside of you. And then what you had to do, if you wanted to be a bonsai, you'd have to ring the church office and leave a message on the answer phone saying, my name's Dave Jones, and I want to be a bonsai. So that's what I did. I had this little hunger within me. I wanted to grow in the Lord. I didn't really know much stuff, but I knew God was real. And so I rang up this church. I was like, I want to be a bonsai. And I was given someone. And we kind of like went out to McDonald's a couple of times and played badminton. And the whole thing was just like really, really awkward. And just like, I really liked the scheme. I think it probably worked for like a whole bunch of people, but it just did not work for me at all. I just used to meet up with this guy and it was like, this is awkward. He's like, how you doing? I'll be like, fine. So, but nevertheless, I think it was a good scheme. So, in River Church, Marlo, we're going to launch the bonsai scheme. Thank you. But after that, I got a job working for Tribe Enterprises at the time. It was a skateboarding company. Many of you know the history around that. And I was basically, I owe a huge amount to Keith and to Chris West, who kind of basically just mentored me and discipled me like on the job. So we just go and we tour around the country running these little skateboarding events. And it was in those times when they brought God into those situations, that we'd pray together in the van and they'd prophesy me and over me and encourage me and draw out the best in me. And, you know, that was a huge, thing on my journey, which is fantastic. Later, I really kind of experienced, peer-to-peer discipleship. I got together with the likes of Miles Dillon and Ben Stock, and we'd just say, right, guys, we're like 18-year-old boys at the time, right, guys, we're really struggling with, teenage boy stuff, we're watching lots of pornography, and it's really unhelpful, and we really want to, be good, Christian lads, so let's just keep one another accountable, and, having those honest conversations with one another, and just, just supporting one another through that stuff, and praying with one another, we'd meet up, and even now, I meet up with Miles, I'll Skype him, and he'll, ask, really in-depth questions. I haven't seen you for ages. That was the first thing you asked. But it's, that in itself was a really, really powerful thing. And I learned in those times that actually, a problem shared really is a problem halved. And, there's something about, the enemy. The enemy loves to, he loves to operate in shadows. He loves to keep us in the darkness. And, the Lord says, let us live as children of the light. So there's something about, when we, when we self-disclose, we get freer. You give something to someone and it becomes, it just immediately becomes lighter because you've shared it. And so I think, for me that was hugely important. I think that's one of the lessons that I learned there, was the more we self-disclose, the freer we get. The less we give enemy a stronghold to keep us under heaviness and guilt. The lesson that I learned with Keith and Chris is that actually, the best discipleship just comes out of natural friendships. People who you just naturally connect with, people who you naturally click with, people who you trust, people who you just feel like, they believe in me. Since then, I've been hugely, hugely indebted to, guys like Al and guys like Colin. I've been in tears with both of them at different points when we just, they've mentored me in my leadership. And, they've just been absolutely amazing. Al, you've been absolutely fantastic. And I just really, really appreciate the support you've given me. But, those times are totally different to the times with Ben and with Miles and with Keith and with Chris, because you're at a different stage in your life, so you need different things. You need different kinds of input. And so there's a challenge for each one of us to recognise what is the stage of life that we're in, what kind of input do we need? I'm totally indebted to the people who have been around me. But it all happened in relationship. None of it happened. Loads of it has happened one-to-one, me and my relationship with God. But loads of it, tons of it has happened in relationship. I don't even know if I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for some of the relationships that I'd have. I honestly don't. So, I think we need a discipleship culture. The word Christian is used three times. That's great. We're mini Jesuses. But the word apprentice, the word disciple, is used hundreds of times. There's a challenge for us all to become disciples. We can learn stuff, We can learn stuff in our heads. We can learn to do stuff in ministry. But I reckon the character stuff, that's what's learned in relationship. Gerald Coates said this: the unshared areas of our lives are the ones where Jesus isn't Lord. I like that. You know, I believe that church can be a real, real place of healing. I believe it with all my heart that church can be a place of powerful, powerful healing. But if we only ever turn up to church in the good times, then what are we modelling to the world? If we're saying to the world, hey, come, you know, come and get healed and free in the presence of God, but we only turn up, and we only turn up with our best face on, what are we modelling? I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a fake community. I want to have a fake church. I want a real church, a real family, with real problems. There's that Proverbs, wherever there's an ox in the stall, there's mess. You know, mess is good, guys. Like, mess is a sign of life. If we don't have any mess, you know, we're in trouble. Some people get really freaked out about mess, and I'm like, it's par for the course. So, let's together, firstly, be unshockable. I think we have to create spaces for people where we're totally unshockable. And this is my proposal to you guys, that everyone in here basically finds one person that they can trust. So you maybe have been around River Church and you've actually got loads of people you can trust. You've got really, you know, old friendships, and that's absolutely fantastic. But if you don't, I want to encourage you, who is the one person that you can trust, you can just be totally honest with, totally open with, totally accountable to? And journey with them. And I think especially for guys, there's a real, for gentlemen, there's a real kind of sense of, hey, so we're just going to talk about football. We're going to talk about cars. We're going to talk about business. We don't actually talk about anything of substance. We don't really talk about, like, what's going on in our lives. How's our marriages? How's our parenting? Not that I would know, but, you know, I want to encourage gents to really, really think, you know, is there someone who I can just be really vulnerable with and really talk about real stuff with? Take putting yourself out there. So, being a disciple, I think, lastly, it takes, firstly, a willingness and a desire to do it, to be a disciple, to change, to know that actually, you know what, God's got amazing plans for me, and we're all under construction. I'm under construction, so it's not a big deal. But I want to change. I want to become the best version of myself. Secondly, I think it takes a willingness to be confronted and receive from others. I think it takes a desire to learn and take responsibility for your own growth. I think it takes a core value of, maybe not core value, but just a value of self-disclosure and one of openness, honesty, and accountability, like I said already. So that's it, really. Let's close our eyes. And I was just wondering if just everyone could just pause and think. And just think, is there, you know, what is the right kind of form of discipleship for me at this time? What, you know, what do I need? Do I need a prayer triplet? Do I need just a mate? And just spend a bit of time thinking around, you know, what do I need? It may well be that you actually need to have a brave conversation with someone and say, hey, I really appreciate our friendship, but I want it to go deeper. You might also want to think, is there anyone who I should be discipling, who I should be getting alongside and encouraging and drawing the best out of? And this isn't just in church, it's in all areas of life. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would help us to be disciples. Help us to learn and to live the most amazing way which you modelled. Help us to be a good, real community. Not a nicey church community which just puts on a fake smile. Help us to draw out the best in one another, to love one another really well. Amen.